It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Access of Easy. This is number 291. My name is Joey. I'm here as always with my co-host, Len. Len, I went for a run with my dog today, and it's a little too cold, I think, to run. I couldn't breathe after I got home. You know that feeling you got when you're like chewing on copper, coughing up phlegm? Terrible. I don't know if it's a sign that I'm just getting old or a sign that it's too cold, but in either case, a little disappointed with myself. How are things going over there? How was your day?
It's cold here too, and it's not cool. I went out today with shorts and a hoodie, and it was just too cold. I think I bit off a little bit more than I could chew. The last few days, I've been going out full winter gear.
Wow.
With hat, gloves, and everything. But today, I don't know why I decided not to. But no, everything is good. It's sunny. It's kind of giving us a taste of what it's going to be coming in the next little while. And I can't wait. The short rain forecast looks really, really good. And long range, even better. Not only for that, but for our privacy. And we'll be talking about that shortly.
Absolutely. Let's get into it, buddy. First, though, of course, the quotes. Last week's quote, mankind, it seems, makes a poorer performance of government than of almost any other human activity. That was by historian Barbara Tuchman. No one
got never gotten that one.
Me neither. Great quote, though.
Yes.
Really good quote. This week's quote. You ready for it? Those who are capable of tyranny are capable of perjury to sustain it. And that's by unknown. You know the rules, listener, viewer. No Googling. No nonsense. Don't cheat when you got it. Post a comment. And you get your domain renewal on Easy DNS. I like that quote a lot. There's another quote I heard today that's similar, or yesterday that's similar, that if you're not willing to lie for your own cause, then why would someone bring you on to lie for theirs? Interesting. I think that's like a hiring process. You know, people who lie during the interview, they expect you to lie during the interview. Maybe. Interesting.
You know, you'll come to our show not just for learning about what's going on in the world of privacy and malwares and all that, but you also get fortune cookies over here. It's a great place, and you don't have to spend any money. Or go for a drive to your local
Chinese restaurant. To the Mandarin, yeah.
Yeah, this is free. All you have to do is just listen to it, and you got it right there. Not too shabby.
I love it. What's the first story, buddy? Let's get into it.
And let's talk about Pinduoduo. What a name. This is the Chinese budget shopping app, Pinduoduo. They have been suspended from the Google Play Store over malware concerns. And shoppers were getting more than they bargained for by using this app. And here's where things get really funny. So Pinduoduo launched last year in September, so September 2022. And they did so with trying to mimic an app called Shein. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
Shine. I think it's called Shine.
Shine?
Yeah,
okay.
I think. Yeah.
I don't know. My Mandarin is very poor, but Shine. Okay. And it was a way to gain U.S. customers for cheap, fashionable goods. Cheap and fashionable never to mix well together. But neither does copying a malware app, because Shine itself has been revealed to be a bad actor, and it was fined by New York for $1.9 million. I gave him a little bit of a pass there. $1.9 million. That was for a data breach, and that was for not notifying users as a result of that data breach. And Shine has been accused of stealing price and URL data from the Android clipboards. And this applies to older Android versions. And it should basically highlight to people why it is we should be updating the software to avoid being the victim of bugs, backdoors, zero-day exploits, you name it. But back to Pinduoduo, and that's the cheap copy of a program that was trying to steal your copy data. And this is no small app on its own. This was the most downloaded app in the US on the iOS and Android, with 24 million downloads since its launch back in September. How many people have been impacted as a result of this? Who the heck knows? Pinduoduo has come out and they're claiming innocence by saying, "We strongly reject this speculation and accusation by some anonymous researcher and non-conclusive response from Google that Pinduoduo app is malicious. Well, the anonymous researcher may not be so anonymous, because according to Russian multinational cybersecurity company called Kaspersky Lab, the app could boost its privileges to vandalize user privacy and data security. This is from a Bloomberg report. Earlier versions of Pinduoduo manipulated system software vulnerabilities to gain unauthorized access to user data and notifications. And to take this one step further, Kaspersky itself has been flagged as a threat to national security in 2022. So Shakespeare himself couldn't write this stuff. There's so many players here. We have the tragic hero. We have it's a swerve of the plot.
Who's the Christ-like figure? There's always a Christ-like figure, right? That's all I remember from English class, 4 years of high school. Who's the Christ-like figure here?
It's the user itself. And that's what I would say is the user of all this. But yeah, so this really goes to show you that the apps that are there, they may have been vetted by Google and Apple, but truly there could be some malware built on it. Always update your phone. Try not to put any information on there that may bite you in the rear end later on. Don't use the copy and paste feature, especially for stuff like passwords and other things, because you never know who the heck's going to be getting that information. So do yourself a favor, practice some good privacy hygiene.
Pretty funny that, I don't know if you have this problem, but because of the YouTube videos I watch, I'm guilty of watching a lot of gaming videos, obviously. And I get ads for just the weirdest games, obvious spyware, all this stuff. It's just constant spyware. And I can't imagine being one of these people who opens a Chinese shopping app called Pinduoduo, which I think is one of the original 151 Pokemon, and looking at this and going, huh, this looks secure. I'm going to pump my address, credit card, all that stuff into it. And then, of course, like these apps copy from the clipboard. I know on iPhone, iOS, there's a permission box, a permission request prompt that says, do you want to let this app copy from your clipboard? You always should say no to this, listener and viewer. If it's important, you know, you can put it in yourself. And if it's not that important, well, maybe you don't need the fast fashion, like Len was mentioning. It, you know, may not be in your benefit anyway. Oftentimes, fashionable clothes are not cheap and easy. They're the opposite. So that's funny. The Kaspersky thing is also funny. I remember in university, we used to pirate antivirus software all the time. And ESET was a big one. Kaspersky was the other big one. I think there's like, you know, this is a Russian affiliated product and the whole threat to cybersecurity meme that's going around now, fine. At the end of the day, Len, the point is, for the average person, they're not going to catch this unless they listen to a show like Access of Easy or do any reading and things of this nature. So Google has no choice but to pull this from the App Store. The question isn't whether or not this app is taking your data. It is. The question is, why is the data theft of other apps basically sanctioned by these app stores? Tons of apps are stealing your data constantly. As you know, you're a big time proponent of privacy phones and privacy software on phones and computers. Your data is being stolen all the time. Just because it's sanctioned by the powers that be doesn't mean you should allow it or be okay with it, or worse, not know about it at all. You always have to be careful where you're stepping when you're online. So it's something to keep in mind.
And another one that's going to give people some credence to being more prudent with their data. It's a new bug that, well, it came out for the Google Pixel owners. I, in fact, have a Google Pixel here. Well, this bug has been revealed, and it's called the Acropolis bug. The names, man, they're just, oh my gosh. Why can't we just pick something nice and easy, like the Joe bug or the Mike bug? You know, anyways, this bug will allow you to recover items that you've cropped out in a picture. So if you broke up with somebody, cropped out their head, and gotten back together with them, not only could you patch up the relationship, but now you can just basically patch up the picture like nothing has ever happened. It's just basically back to square one. And the bug was fixed in a recent Android update, but it impacted Pixel phones from 2018 to March 2023. So that's a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And you have to understand that images, they can contain private and sensitive data in it. It's all embedded within the picture. And even sensitive info that the user is trying to eliminate may still be there after they have eliminated it. In fact, it even goes on to talk about Windows 11, their snippet tool, and Windows 10, the snip and sketch tool. They are also subjected to this same thing when somebody saves an image, crops it, and saves the file again. So you never know if indeed it's, once you crop it, You could always revert back to an earlier version somehow. But we could go down this rabbit hole. Now, you have a Pixel phone. Anybody out there that has one, don't use the stock Android. You're 9/10 of the way there, man. Install Graphene OS. It's a hardened version of Android, and you have way more control over your data. And it's so easy to install. If anybody has any questions how to do it, reach out to me. I'll be happy to discuss the process and how to use Graphene OS. But it also highlights to don't use stuff like Google Photos, all these cloud versions where you can store your data. Learn how to self-storage your own data. Use a NAS server where you can move your data onto it and you can have total control over it. So these cloud services, I think it's also part and parcel of this. If you had control over it, the pictures itself, where it gets stored, you might be able to have control about what's being saved on it and where it's being saved. But lastly, another thing, you know, when you take those embarrassing snapshots of grandma, you can't crop her out permanently. You could always bring her back to life. But also people out there that take a picture of their junk, man, oh man, or even blurt it out. Here you go, man. It's there and it's probably always going to be there. Some problems may persist as a result of it. Don't think just because you cropped it out, it's gone forever. The metadata is saved on there. It could always be retrieved at a later time and can make you look like a fool. Yes, I'm looking at you with the 4-inch dong out there blurring your junks. Fuck you.
Pretty jokes, man. If you got an album of pictures of your hog, you got to be careful about that. I would say this is going to be interesting. We can finally, historians, Len, as you know, have commented on this story a great deal since its release. Finally, we'll be able to see who Joseph Stalin was with on that shoreline there. Obviously, many a photo of Joseph Stalin where other people have been cropped out as part of the meme lore. So, yeah, it's interesting, man. The Android. The stock Android experience, you know, always leaves something to be desired. And as a former Android user, I will also add that they over at Google have a tendency to leave old hardware in the dust pretty quickly as far as the monthly updates. You'll find that, you know, if you buy a phone that's not a Pixel, your monthly updates will start lacking pretty quickly. And it sounds like even if you have a Pixel, you know, these problems have persisted for what, 4 years now, something like that. You said since 2018 or 19. That's a long time, man. Yeah. Like you, there's a lot of pictures that you may not realize are floating around on the internet if you use that device and don't have it secured in some way. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think people need to start treating their pictures as something that anyone can see at any time. And unfortunately, that's not been the case so far. It's been quite the opposite. Maybe that'll change going forward. But I think for now, until we have this big, you know, kind of blow up moment, like, you know, there was that celebrity photo leak, you know, a decade ago or whatever, that should have been it, but clearly it wasn't. So I don't know. Let's see. Keep an eye on it. Secure your photos. Pretend that everyone can see them. Don't take pictures of stuff you wouldn't want, you know, to wind up on the front page, as they say.
Nikolai Yezhov. That's the gentleman that was rubbed out in that picture. I'm just taking a look at it right now. He was a Soviet secret police official. There you go. Erased from history, at least according to Joseph Stalin.
Anyways, we can get him back thanks to this Android bug.
Yeah, he's never totally gone. So anyways, we can move on. Ransomware attacks. This is going to be a couple of stories moving forward. And the first one is a hacker group by the name of Klopp. At least it's easier to pronounce. They have been behind some 130 ransomware attacks, and some victims include big names like the city of Toronto. But with respect to that, it's not like they're going to be able to wring anything out from there. You can't bleed blood from a stone. The city of Toronto's broke, so good luck trying to actually get a ransom out of them. But also Procter & Gamble, another one that was impacted. Crown Resorts, this is Australia's largest gambling and entertainment company. Onyx, one of Canada's biggest asset management companies. And the list goes on and on. So what's the commonality here? They were using something called Go Anywhere, and it's a file transfer software. So that was the commonality here amongst all these attacks. So anybody who was using this file transfer software potentially may have been subjected to this attack. And they were attacked using a zero-day flaw. And it allowed streams of data to be accessed by the perpetrators and take it. And, well, moving forward, it looks like they're going to have to be wondering what it is was stolen and how it is they can ensure that this information does not get leaked. Are they going to get paid in Bitcoin, Monero? I could not find what they're asking moving forward, but I suspect it's going to be something along those lines. So anybody out there that has used Go Anywhere in a professional or personal setting, you may want to take a little bit look into under the hood to see if, in fact, you are also subjected to one of these 130 ransomware attacks.
Well, and pretty soon we're going to be returning to tradition. I remember when I was a younger man, people walking around with USB keys on their keychain and around their necks in university, taking their files from class to class, computer to computer to continue their work. Then we obviously moved to this cloud storage, send anywhere, go anywhere, we transfer all these different things, Dropbox. Looks like, Len, we may be returning to the days of the thumb drive. Doesn't look cool, but it's more effective than this. I'll also add that this is a reason why when you see the overly cautious, talking about not keeping their SIN number or their, picture of their passport, whatever, on their computer. This is why, because you just never know what angle you're leaving open to get to some of those files. This is a, you know, widely used file transfer service in the professional sphere in Canada and abroad. And what have we seen now? Cities being held handsome. There's a financing giant in Quebec. Same thing. You know, these are big deals. Hitachi, you know, people are stealing data all the time. There's always a target. And the more opportunities you give, it doesn't matter how kind of low importance your information may seem to you. If it's easy enough, somebody will get it because, hey, why not? And you got to be careful. Don't store that kind of sensitive data on your computer. Certainly not the one you use as a daily driver. That's crazy.
Agreed. Let's talk about, well, a story concerning the Meta's former trust and safety manager, and her name is Artemis Seaford. I hope I pronounced her name correctly. And she is a dual US and Greek national. And she looks like she was part of a year-long wiretap with a powerful cyber espionage tool known as Predator. And Predator spawned from an Athens-based company, and it has been exported out of Greece despite potential breaching of European Union laws. And Ms. Seaford claims that she was the victim of this attack while working at Meta in the role of the trust and safety manager, which handled cybersecurity and maintained working relationships with the Greek and other European officials. The irony of this all is she impacted by poor security practices herself. It makes me wonder, I mean, how well is the cybersecurity handled at Meta if she was impacted by this and given her position previously? And to her surprise, she did some investigating. She found her name on a list of leaked spyware targeted from November 2022. And in that list was her name. And she, as a result of that, she got hold of the good people at the Citizen Lab at the University of Toronto to look into this matter further. And the lab decided to look at her phone for forensic purposes, and it determined that Ms. Seaford, her mobile phone has been hacked with the Predator software since September 2021. And the Predator spyware is the center of controversy, as it was wiretapping Greek politicians, state officials, journalists, and others. And I would imagine more and more people are going to be potentially a result of this. Again, another example of beware of how you use your phone, because if you use it and you store personal information, any sort of spyware that is put on your phone can potentially get access to that very important information. Just like you mentioned a moment ago, Joey, be very careful. Practice good security hygiene when it comes to not only the computer that you use on a daily basis, but the phone that you use. We have somebody that was in a very prominent position in Meta, and here's another one that just doesn't seem to follow practices maybe the company has put in place. So yeah, it's a pretty sad story, and looks like she was impacted negatively, but it shines a light on how we should be treating our data moving forward, which is pretty good.
Incredible that the lead for trust and safety trusted something that wasn't safe and has been nicked by that negligence. You know, I don't want to pick on this woman because I don't know much about her. Who knows how that software got on her phone? I don't know what kind of phone she has, et cetera, et cetera. All these things are, you know, sort of moving parts in the story. But I will note that and we've talked about this before, if this can happen to people who are acutely aware of the dangers of online life, phones, electronic communications, things of this nature, then the average person carrying a phone around in their pocket, specifically someone who does, you know, project work at a Starbucks or something, or takes a train, or is using public Wi-Fi at an airport, blah, 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 blah. The number of ways you can get picked off, man, by someone who is just so much more competent and focused and understands the holes better than you do. The ways are many in number and they are growing, it seems. And one thing I didn't hear you talk about there is whether or not they found the person responsible for that data breach. How much data did they get? Are they waiting to use some of that data? You know, presumably you're typing things like your cell phone payment information, your credit card, your passport if you're flying, all these different things, right, that are on your phone even if for a short time. When that software is there, there's no limit to what people can get from you. Your Twitter DMs, your Facebook DMs, whatever. Scary stuff, man. And, you know, one thing we talk about on the show a lot, and I'll just mention it again here, there's a, I think, a tendency for some doom scrolling when it comes to stuff like this, you know, doomer thinking, we're all going to have our privacy hacked at some point and blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't necessarily need to be the case. You can be careful with your data. Like you said, Len, there's ways to kind of custody these things in a way that makes sense. Take care when you're out and about, install software that's open source and reviewed by many people and fits your needs as a user and from a privacy perspective. It's not all doom and gloom. Doom and gloom stories make the news, but there's a lot of people who didn't get hacked, didn't have the software installed on their phone. And those are the examples we should be thinking about and looking to.
Now, here's another example of ransomware. We're coming up, and it's SpaceX. We have not talked about this company before. So this ransomware group known as Lockbit, they have managed to indirectly penetrate SpaceX and gotten their hands on some 3,000 SpaceX engineering drawings. So the genesis of this is SpaceX, they hired a contractor, the Texas-based Maximum Industries, and through that company was how Lockbit snagged the ill-gotten booty. And as proof of getting the info, they have leaked some of the drawings that they have, and so it looks like they're playing hardball. And one of the demands that they have is to bring Elon Musk, and this is the gentleman behind, everybody knows him, behind SpaceX. They want him to come to the negotiating table. I think they want more than just a selfie and an autograph from him. I think they want to take him and bring him through, put him through the ringer. And one of the leaks to date have included a part of the Raptor V2 engine schematic. And these are the rockets that they used, SpaceX uses to propel stuff into space, their payload into space. And they are threatening to, in fact, auction off some of these designs. Now, it makes me wonder, how are they going to auction it off? Is it going to go on eBay? Because I would imagine the Russians may be banned from that platform, but maybe China would want it, given the fact that they have space ambitions of advancing their space platform and their space program. And SpaceX, they're also going to be drawing from some of the experience they have when it comes to these data breaches. Not the first time this happened. In fact, 3 years ago, when something called the Doppelpaymer ransomware group, they broke into SpaceX, the names, which roll off my tongue. So this Doppelpaymer ransomware, they broke into SpaceX and Tesla through a contractor and leaked documents the following month. So it seems like there's a commonality here where they're doing the same thing by going through some sort of contractor. Contractors getting access to stuff, and through that is where a ransomware attack group is able to snag data. So they should be tightening up their security over there at SpaceX and Tesla as well, indirectly. But it goes to show you that these are companies that there's a lot of data, a lot of proprietary information that a lot of people would like to get, especially space programs like China, maybe even Russia itself.
For sure.
So it's going to go on auction. If you have some money you want to put aside for this, maybe you could get access to some of these drawings and make your own spaceship. So yeah, not me, Joey. Not me, though. I'm just a humble old Bitcoiner.
You could drain your TFSA and buy some blueprints for something called a space shield or star shield, whatever that thing is. I think it's interesting, Len, like worth noting that Tesla obviously makes, you know, the preeminent electric vehicle at the moment. There's an awful lot of Teslas on the road, and you got to think those things are open to this kind of attack in the right circumstance. It's very disheartening and a bit concerning as well, of course, that they can't seem to protect their data over there at SpaceX or Tesla. I would be, and I have in the past mentioned this, maybe on the Bitcoin show or maybe to you privately, but like this idea that cars can be programmed and accessed and, you know, make use of broader networking abilities, to me is a big time vulnerability that's just not worth the benefits on the other end. And I just don't understand how anyone looks at the Tesla, you know, the Tesla line of vehicles and a story like this and thinks, yeah, I'm going to put my family in there. Yeah, I'm going to plug that into my house overnight, you know, where there's a fire hazard. Yeah, I'm going to do all these different things that really require a lot of trust. I would not trust this kind of thing at all, even before this story. But this story really, you know, puts a nice clear outline on the problem. So something to keep in mind, keep an eye on.
Not many options available these days. All cars are so in depth with electronics.
Yeah,
you just can't find a carbureted car these days. Anyways, Apple, it looks like that they are monitoring employee attendance. And this is a report coming out from the New York Post. And so Apple will be starting monitoring employee attendance. They'll be requiring their employees to be at the office at least 3 times a week, and they're going to be using badge records, and they're going to be reviewing that to track their attendance in the office as a way to figure out who has been scoffing at the back to work mandate. And a failure to comply with these could lead to some things, including dismissal from the company. And this comes into focus as Apple has the image that they are protecting users' privacy and data. But there's no mention in all those commercials about protecting the same information from their employees. But to be honest, this is common practice. You have an employer, they want to ensure that they have people at the office when they require them to be so. Employees that are not pleased with this news, the Apple employees, they have gone as far as to sign a petition last year to voice their displeasure with the return to work policy. And some employees have been vocal about it and even threatened to quit. But the problem persists. If they're going to be using that as a leverage tool, the economy itself is pretty bad. So they don't have many options when they leave Apple to go somewhere else. Maybe they could work at Chipotle or somewhere along those lines we talked about in the past, Joey. So to go back, I don't think this is abnormal. It may suck in terms of with respect to the employees being monitored, but this is common practice for employers to monitor where and when they are within the confines of the building. They are using the badge to open up doors and to be scanned in somewhere. It sucks, but unfortunately, it's common practice. I may not agree with it, but this is just the way things work in the real world.
Shut up and go to work. If your employer wants you to go to work, shut up and go there. If you don't want to go, quit your job and shut up anyways. Just doing a lot of shutting up and finding a way to not, you know, not give yourself a problem. Apple is paying you. And if you don't like the situation, you can leave. But if you don't leave, then you have to comply with these sorts of things. I view the spin that Apple is a quote unquote privacy focused company, and so this flies in the face of privacy focus. That's bull. I don't buy that spin at all. Apple protecting the data of people who use their phones is a lot different than Apple asking the people whom they pay a significant chunk of money to, by the way, to be at the office to work on product. It's not that hard to figure this out. I think a lot of people picked up a lot of bad habits over the pandemic, professionally and probably socially as well. And this is a natural sort of point of tension, point of friction after a 3-year period like that, where it was trendy and basically required of major corporations to say, yeah, we're going to be flexible. Well, they don't want to be flexible anymore. Productivity is suffering. They have a fiscal responsibility. They have a fiduciary responsibility. They have a board. They have shareholders. Get to work. Stop complaining.
Agreed. Let's talk about the Redis bug. I hope I pronounced that correctly.
You got a lot of tough names today, man. A lot of tough ones.
Yeah, luckily we're not talking about Inner Mongolia. Remember those days? ChatGPT is under the spotlight, but this time for the wrong reasons. And OpenAI, which is the developer of ChatGPT, they have announced there is a flaw in the Redis open source library, and a flaw which exposes personal info and chat of other users of the ChatGPT service has been determined to be a reality. So short summaries of other users' conversations that are in the chat history sidebar were visible by some other users. And hopefully nobody was having any intimate discussions with ChatGPT, because that has been unfortunately leaked. The flaw was initiated by the canceling of certain requests, which led to the corruption of data and the data being returned to the user and came from the database cache. Even worse, payment information for 1.2% of ChatGPT Plus subscribers may have been revealed on March 20th between 1 to 10 a.m. Pacific time. And information released includes email address, payment address, the last 4 digits of the credit card number used, and the credit card expiry date of the active users. And the issue has since been resolved. And so people could go back to chatting with the bot with the expectations that their information is not being shared with other users. But it makes me wonder, Joey, if you have this AI program and there's a bug within it, shouldn't it be aware enough, smart enough to fix the bug that is and basically close the loop? But apparently not. So it may have a bug in it. It just has no idea that the bug is indeed a bug and it just goes on its merry way. So these things are really not that smart after all. Here's an example of it. ChatGPT, two thumbs down. Don't give it information. I've been saying this thing has been harvesting information for quite some time. But even in this case here, the information that somebody would have plugged in may have potentially been shown to some other user. That is pretty scary stuff, that, depending on what it is you talked about with the ChatGPT bot.
Well, Len, as you know, ChatGPT is programmed not to give sort of derogatory commentary about marginalized communities, and the bug community clearly marginalized. We step on them. We're talking about grinding up crickets into pasta. I don't blame ChatGPT for not disclosing that bug. We can't have any more negative connotations in society about bugs. So good for them over at ChatGPT. I was going to give you a pat on the back. You gave yourself a pat on the back before I got a chance to. You've been saying since this started to me privately, you said it on the Bitcoin show, you've said it here, that this thing is going to eventually leak the data that it's been harvesting. And it's worse than that. It's not even like it's just credit card data. It's people's searches. There was a story a long time ago. I think it must have been in Wired or Gizmodo or one of those kind of like, you know, monthly, weekly kind of aggregated blogs about how, Google's search history is the most coveted honeypot on the planet. And, you know, they use that to target ads to you. They use it to target suggestions. They use it to do everything. But I am sure that there are people out there who are looking for some freaky stuff on Google. And that kind of stuff leaking would almost be worse than having like your text messages leak or your DMs leaking or, you know, an Amazon Alexa in your living room, which people do voluntarily, unbelievably still. So interesting, man. Let's keep an eye on this one, because I guarantee that there's a lot of people trying to get ChatGPT to say some unsavory things. And you don't want those requests leaking, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, it's going to be scary. And just on a side note, anything you do with the Google platform, it's there almost forever. Even if you go look at your movement history in the maps, you could basically see where it is you travel to and from. So it's very important to not use the maps, at least give the information of your location to the maps. You could do that on, say, a Graphene installed OS on Pixel. And another thing, Incognito does absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Your information is still stored. They know where the source is coming from. So everything is there. So be very careful. Use VPNs, use Tor. That's the best way to hide.
Just go full mountain, man. Stop using phones. Revert to VCRs, regular Nintendo, no internet. Cover your whole
CB radio
bag. CB radio. That's right. Yeah. I think that's it, Len. That's the last story we had, eh?
Yeah, that is it.
Great. Thanks for listening, everyone. That was Access of Easy, I should say, number 291. We'll see you again next week, same time, same place. Take care of yourselves.
Yeah, take care.